G3. The Model of Being and Its Universal Laws. Number 9B.
Though all those who have been with us over the last 4 years where we did text interpretation have seen that happening, so it's not foreign. What did we see? We took prayer, and as I said, we first could see that prayer has a linear unfoldment, prayer of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Then we began to see it as the interplay of the 7 synonymous terms with themselves. Mind as mind, mind as spirit, mind as soul, mind as principle, mind as life, mind as truth, mind as love. Then spirit as mind, spirit as spirit, spirit as soul, etc. So that we had a 7x7 structure. Suddenly we had vertical and horizontal impacts. But then we could say, yes, but afterwards we did take Atonement and Eucharist. And when we tried to see Atonement and Eucharist, actually, we saw the very same thing fundamentally, that the chapter is laid out first in mind, then the subject of spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Afterwards, we could see that they reflect each other, and we had already some kind of a grid, mind in the 7, spirit in the 7, again the 7x7, sometimes even more complex, again the 7x7. So actually, fundamentally, the same layout as prayer. Well, then we were asking ourselves, what then, why don't they say the same thing? If it's a 7x7, why are they so different? Apparently, we haven't seen all the categories. Apparently, there was something missing. So, what was missing? And so we saw very clearly that the chapter on prayer with the 7x7 was viewed from the vantage point of the Word. Suddenly we took in a second category, the Word. No more 7x7, but another category of the system. Yes? And could see, if I look at the 7x7 from the point of view of Word, I get something very different than when I look at the 7x7 from the point of view of the Christ. Because then, in prayer, the 7x7 had right through, because it's a structure, right through always the sense of the Word, of the seeking process. And Atonement and Eucharist had right through always the tone of the Christ, always that demand that the divine must overcome the human at every point. A completely different attitude. So by bringing in another category, see, you can differentiate. And so the system becomes differentiated, and that differentiation means structure. So we had the structure that in prayer that is completely different from the structure of Atonement and Eucharist, different from the structure of marriage, different for every chapter in the textbook. Yes? Can you see that? Well, that's very nice. But there is still a but. The other but that we usually had was this, that when we were considering the prophets, or when we were considering, say, some other structure like the epistles, that we could see, well, they did the same thing, that they would perhaps, Hosea would perhaps show also as the first prophet, like prayer, to show that the message has been bringing out was actually bringing out 7x7. What's the difference then between Hosea and prayer? they have quite a different message, haven't they? Completely different. And yet outwardly you could say, well, that's actually the 7x7. Yes, but they are different. What was different? Well, the difference is that the prophets were speaking from the high standpoint of the Christ. In absolute Christian Science, translated to the Christ in Christian Science. That was their message. There to show that God is coming down to Israel and try to see that everything is going right in Israel and just kicking everything out that was not right in Israel and was overturning and overturning and overturning until it comes whose right it is. So one could see they had Christ in divine science and absolute Christian Science and Christian Science as their main object. That's not the object of the Christian Science textbook. The object of the Christian Science textbook is to show the science standpoint of absolute Christian Science combined with Christian Science. Show how absolute Christian Science is practical and therefore can be applied to humanity, which Mrs. Eddy calls is Christian Science. So the overall tone was science, see, absolute Christian Science and Christian Science, and that again gave a different vantage point. That's why the Bible is so different from the textbook, because the Bible shows mostly the standpoint of the Word, and then in the prophetic and kingdom period, mostly the standpoint of the Christ, and then the New Testament, the standpoint of Christianity, and the textbook, the standpoint of science. So why? Because those vantage points are different, you always get a different structure. But always using a 7 and a 4 and a 4. Always. Can you see how with 11 now, 7 plus 4 plus 4 is 15. Still, that with 15 root notions, being, capital B, could reveal itself in infinite ways through the whole Old Testament, through the New Testament, through the textbook. Always just using those 15 root notions and restructuring the system of Christian Science. So that's structure and restructuring. Isn't it terrific? Which, it didn't look like as it is terrific, but for me it is. You see, this is really spiritual mathematics. At her side note right on page 3 of the textbook, spiritual mathematics. What she uses is spiritual mathematics. He says, if I can show the 15 root notions, therefore the 7 plus the 4 plus the 4, and if I can teach those rules of transformation, how to transform the system into structures, then that one system can show us that system in infinite varieties. Terrific. Like the arithmetic teacher in the first year, the first grade says, look here children, if you know the 10 and the 4, then I can show you infinite calculations. For all your life, the few becomes infinite, so that we can master the infinite. Isn't that big? Let's forget our little eggs, the tummy eggs and the corns and the heat and everything. Let's forget. That has nothing to do with Christian Science. These are silly things. Let's see the bigness of it. Let's just go home and nurture for as long as you can the awe of the bigness of what Mrs. Eddy has revealed or has been revealed through her. And what John Dolly has shown us what that revelation is. His contribution is hardly yet fathomed, what he did, hardly fathomed yet. And we have to work well and look deep into his work in order to find out the greatness, the great thing that is going on in this age. Something very great is going on. Even if we can't see material outward signs, it is a spiritual science, and we have to see the spiritual meaning and the spiritual bigness of it. So, you could see that if he would be a good arithmetician in the spiritual field, if he would really be able to handle those seven and those four and those four in a masterly way, just have the masterly sense of it, we could write the Bible, we could write the textbook, because they only told us the story of the seven and the four and the four from various vantage points, and even those vantage points are not outside the whole, outside the system. They are in the system. The vantage points can only be, for instance, mind, or could be spirit, or soul, or it could be the Word, or the Christ, or the vantage point could be divine science, or Christian science. Always vantage points that are within the system itself. Doesn't that make it even bigger? And can you see why science is self-creative? That science has within itself the whole dynamics to create itself anew and bring out constantly new structures. Structures that have never been seen. Hosea has seen it in one way. Joel came along, not this Joel, the prophet Joel came along and saw it in another way. And Amos came along, not Francis Amos, came along. We have all the prophets here in the class. Came along and put it into another way. But they were all talking about the structure that is built on the seven and the four and the four. It's big. So, we can see, oh yeah, I have here another note. We can see that, I'm still in structure. That's why it didn't click here. I even find out when I'm not correct. Yeah, so, we have to see that we have to culture ourselves in structural thinking. The next criterion is dimensionalism, the hierarchy of structures. If you have structure on structure, we have seen that the system can build up structures, and we have structure on structure, we get a dimensional sense of being. So I come to dimensionalism. That's another term for what we were calling the levels of science. That is the same thing in the world. They call it usually dimensionalism, though they speak mostly also of levels. Yes. Dimensionalism, to define it again as I have done it before, means that one identity appears different from different standpoints, without losing its original identity. So that one thing can appear in a very different form and yet not change its inward identity. In Christian Science, we have four main dimensions. I call it main dimension because we have naturally also sub-dimensions. But subs are always implied by the main dimension. So we have the four levels of science, namely science itself, that's the highest level, then divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science, as you know from the level book. So I can rely that you have studied the level book, and so I can go out from knowing that you know what I'm talking about. I have said there are main. We have other dimensions. For instance, when you think about the way we are dealing with the synonymous terms, then we have also those further sub-dimensions on the level of Christian science, as you know. And if you don't know, I can't explain it at the moment, but those who know, they know that we have been teaching the synonymous term from the standpoint of science itself, what the synonymous term is by itself, then the realm of divine science, what the synonymous term means in its own realm, then from the standpoint of absolute Christian science, what the synonymous term means in relationship to its idea, to specific ideas. And then we had a great fourth level of Christian science, which we have subdivided in four different subdivisions, namely Christian science, how, in the first subdivision, how a synonymous terms comes to us, to the human. Then the further subdivision, how the synonymous terms, when it comes to us, what it begins to do within ourselves, how it begins to reform and transform and overturn something within ourselves. And then the third subdivision, how what happens when that synonymous term begins to overturn in us, what comes out after the overturning and overturning until it comes whose right it is, what qualities are coming out in the human when the divine has overturned within us what does not belong to us. And fourth, we were adding a fourth subdivision, what then is actually the very counterfeit sense of the synonymous term. You know that, you have had classes on it, and you have a whole chapter on this subject in my book, on the seven synonymous terms, so I don't have to teach it. But in this connection, I just wanted to show that we have to think in dimensions, that we can't just stay in one dimension right up on cloud nine and say that's the dimension of science itself, and that's that. We have to be able to translate everything right from cloud 9 to cloud 8 to cloud 7 to cloud 6 to cloud 5, right down to where we are, right down to the material sense of existence, right down to the erroneous sense of existence, so that all levels of experience are touched by it. And this is the practical application, really, of the seven and the four, that they operate on many levels of being, right from the highest, from heaven, right down to earth, right down to hell. And if I make my bed in hell, thou art still there. So we must see that right through all the Bible and the Christian Science textbook, we must see that this one science is not just actually working on one level of consciousness, but that it touches and must touch all levels of consciousness, or it isn't a healing science. It is not the saving science. So these are the levels that are necessary. And these levels are synonymous. So science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science are synonymous terms. As she says herself in a side note on page 127, that these terms are synonymous. What does that imply? The moment terms are synonymous, they mean that they are not separated from each other, that they are not in watertight compartment, that they always blend. Synonymous terms are such terms that in some way mean the same and in some other way have a different connotation. So the first thing is that we see that they blend into one. So these four levels are not on top of each other, though we have graphically to print it out as if they were on top of each other. We can't do it otherwise. But we must see that in each level, all the other levels exist, but that we only separate them in order to show that we can accentuate one level in distinction to the other levels, but we do not separate them from each other. Therefore, they blend within itself. Therefore, they don't show a hierarchy where the higher controls the lesser. It's not what is called in new science a control hierarchy. It is what they also see, a nested hierarchy. Can you understand my term, nested hierarchy? It's blended within each other. It's interwoven within each other. Is that a good English expression? Yes, it's understandable. So that we are not going to make the mistake, and then I will talk about it at length, that we just feel there is a certain level, and that certain level is the most important level. It's never the most important level. Or that we think we will have first to work out one level before we can work out other levels. We can't, because they are nested, they are blending. And so right at the beginning, must see that this hierarchy is a nested hierarchy. Naturally, it is seen that the level of science is something very higher in spiritual concept than the level of divine science, that is higher than the level of absolute Christian science or of Christian science. But they are not separated. So it's only a help for our understanding. Dear God Almighty doesn't have levels. See? God Almighty doesn't have dimensions. It is just the I am that I am. But in order that I can understand that God is all, in order that mystical expression which is true, that God is all and all, in order that I can understand it, I must put some categories into it so that I can understand it. But then naturally we must see the danger that we could misinterpret that chart and say, well, they are on top of each other. Therefore, there is a control hierarchy. No, it isn't. But what we must see is that each level has a different office. Just as the boss in the business has a different office than the what is the one that goes to the mail and brings the mail to each other? Yeah, you got it. I didn't get it, but you got it. So that we must see that every level has its own laws, has its own structure, and its own laws. Just as we have seen that on the level of an atom, there are laws that regulate atoms and electrons. That when they grow to a higher structure, to a molecule, that other laws are reigning in a molecule. That if we go higher from molecule to cell, that there are other laws reigning in a cell than in a single molecule. Can you see how then structure upon structure bring also different offices? And that's naturally important for practice. We practice Christian Science differently if our consciousness touches science itself, then if our consciousness just touches divine science, or if our consciousness just can touch absolute Christian Science, or if our consciousness touches just Christian Science, we'll practice differently. Because every level has its own law, and that applies also to practice. So most practice naturally is done on the level of Christian Science, which is a curative practice. But then a lot of practice is done on the level of absolute Christian Science, which is preventive practice. And a lot of work is done on the level of divine science, which is evolutive practice. Or a lot of things is done on the level of science itself, which is the practice of being. So every level has a different kind of field of practice. But if we don't have the ability to distinguish those levels, then we are at loss in the practice. And therefore we'll always practice perhaps just with argumentation, which is low below the chart, with affirmation of truth and denial of error, which is not even science, which is just old metaphysics. Or we practice always on the level of Christian Science, truth over error, life over death, and so on. And never think that this is not really the main purpose of Christian Science. Okay?